Hello and welcome or welcome back to Fancy of Leather podcast. I am your host, Hersey Taylor, and I am here for you as you go through your Sunday scaries or whatever day of the week you're facing your scaries on every week. And we're recording live here in my living room in Edinburgh. And this week we are chatting to the lovely Raja all about location and innovation. And that's all I'm going to say for now. It's a really fun episode, so I think you're all going to love it. So stay tuned. And for now, let's hop into our intro. Hello, hello, hello. I'm back. Back again. It's literally not even been a week. I don't know why I just started singing. Sorry. I am so excited because tonight is my Harry night. I'm such a Harry girly, also a Niall girly, a Liam girly, a Louis girly. I'm not really that fussed about Zayn, but he's all right. I'm so excited. I am not a Harry girly that goes early and stands around in queues. Sorry, I'm too old for that life. I'm in my sleepy girl era. I'm sleeping so much recently and I do not know why. Like crazy long, like 12 hours the other night, and I very off. Very, what's the word? Very off-brand. It was on-brand, though. I was yawning right now, even though it's 2:37. And I went to bed at, like, a pretty reasonable time. And I woke up at a pretty reasonable time. Madness. Yeah, it's my Harry day. When you're listening to this, I will have officially have been to the concert, have cried, have screamed, have smiled, and will be deep in my, well, actually, I was going to say deep in my concert blues, but I won't be because tomorrow I am going to BBC Radio 1 Big Weekend for the day, and I'm going to see Niall Horan perform live and Lewis Capaldi and some other people who I'm sure will be wonderful, but those two people I'm so excited to see live. I've never seen either of them live. Well, obviously, I've seen Niall live in One Direction, but not like independently. So I'm very, very excited. So it's a very exciting weekend to be me. I am dreading the tiredness I'm going to feel Monday morning, and this is kind of like my pocket of time and Saturday during the day before shit hits the fan, as they say, before I like go to my friend's house to get ready and everything gets exciting and I have to bring up the energy, but I'll bring the energy. I always bring the energy. And yeah, so updates to come on that next week. I can't wait, to be fair, and I don't really have any other life updates. That's pretty much it. I spoke to you literally last Sunday when I got back from my trip, which was really fun. This week I just been working like normal. It is report season, so next week I'm also gonna be head buried under a pile of paper, I think, to get that all finished. But once it's finished, I can like really start to enjoy summer more because it's kind of the last big thing before the summer break. So yeah, that's exciting. Not exciting that I don't know if I have a job in August yet, but we're focusing on the positive. And the positive is that I am about to be in the same room, well, it's not really a room, stadium as Harry Styles in the next 24 hours, and also in the same place as Niall Horan and Lewis Capaldi, which is pretty cool. Which leads me to the small wonder of the week this week. I'm trying out one of my favorite things of all time, and that, my friends, is overdressing. You can come for me all you want, but in life, if you can be one thing, it should be overdressed, not underdressed, to every event you go to. I love just like expressing myself through fashion and just like having fun with outfits and wearing stuff that's like fun and exciting and like, I don't know, just like a good energy for me. It just brings me joy. I am really not like a leggings and a t-shirt girly. I suppose like I do love a graphic t-shirt, especially with like song lyrics on it that I love and things like that. But Etsy is my place for that. But it has to be with like a nice cardigan. I love like a jeans with a blazer moment, but I also love just being super, super extra for things like for dinners and stuff. And naturally I felt this was the best time to bring it up because I am going super extra for my Harry outfit, because that's who I am, and I'm literally wearing like a pre-Harry outfit right now, which is not that extra, but still. And I'm going to try and TikTok it. I'm going to try and do a TikTok transition video of my outfit for the first time in my life. So please don't come for me in the comments if it goes downhill, because I am trying to be more on my TikTok game. However, I probably won't be posting any videos from the concert. Sorry. I'm just not like a phone at a concert girly. It's just not my style. Maybe like a quick like 10 second clip or something, but I prefer to live in the moment, you know. I'm not like the other girls. No, I'm actually kidding around, but seriously, I really am focused on like trying to live in the moment and not live through my phone screen. And I've never really been that person. No disrespect if you are, it's just really not my style. So yeah, but I also have a killer outfit for Radio 1 Big Weekend tomorrow that I'm so excited about as well. So maybe I'll do another outfit transition video for that. And maybe I'll do like a couple of clips of Niall and Lewis, but like in general, I won't really film, because I also think like I'm never going to watch these again. Like, why am I doing that to myself? And they won't be good quality because my phone's crap quality, so it doesn't really make sense. So yes, yeah, small wonder, overdressing, we love it. We're here for it. It's iconic. And that's all we have to say about it. For the gem of the city, I am shouting out a restaurant, which is like probably not my favorite restaurant, because my body and Indian food do not mix well together, but it is a really good restaurant. It's called the Kalpna. It's a vegetarian Indian restaurant. My family have been a few times. I went recently with my dad and it was good. I just have to kind of be careful with like what I order there, but it is really delicious and very affordable. They do a really cool like lunch buffet deal that's really nice. And it's kind of not too far in the city center that it gets really busy. And that's what I'm trying out for the gem of the city. As you can probably tell, most of my gems of the city are about food, because that is how I live my life. I'm sorry, but I can't help it. We are getting into summer season though. Like, it is actually hot here now. So I probably will be doing more like nature-y, furry things. So I can shut them out when I do them to let you know what was good and stuff. But I also like work full-time job and I'm a tired girl, so I don't have time for too many gems of the city in a week, you know. This week for the poem of the week, we're doing something a little bit different. This is the first time we've done this since the rebrand. We are doing a poem by me, because I am about to put some of my writing up on the website this week or sooner, and I'm very excited for you all to read it and to enjoy. I did have a poetry website previously, but I have now combined them into one because I'm trying to budget. No, I'm also, that is part of it, but I'm also trying to keep everything of my creativeness in one space to make everything easier for everyone involved. Yeah, I'm probably going to do a little travel post that'll go up maybe like today on where I was last weekend. And then I have some poems I'm like keen to post soon, or like some writing. I might write one after the concert, because that's when I'm always like deep in my feels. But this one is a poem I wrote a little while ago that's called Relax, Calm Down. And this is for all the ladies out here listening, all the people, all the women in my life and in every life that I've ever been told to calm down. It's for the people that drives an unbelievable amount of rage into. This is who this poem is directed at, because obviously I am one of those people. So yeah, you obviously can't find it anywhere because it's not in a book currently. If you want to check my old book, it's called Turbulent 20s, and I'll link it in the show notes. But I don't have a new book. Well, I do have one in the works, I guess. I always have one in the works, but like not with like a deal or anything currently. So this is Relax, Calm Down. Relax, calm down. There are certain things in life that can drive a person crazy. For me and so many women, it is being told to calm down. But put the word relax into that and you will send me into a frenzy. The word relax is a contradiction in my mind, because it does not feel at all like the dictionary definition. Instead, it feels like hands shaking, heart pumping, stomach in knots, my world tumbling down around me whilst I'm frozen in time. An opportunity for the villain in my life, my mind, to take over and self-sabotage, to grip harder onto my insecurities and unrealistic fears, as it pushes away anything anyone who has loved me has ever told me. The thought of having time to sit and be and not have a job to do fills me with more fear than swimming with sharks or scaling the world's tallest building. And yes, before you ask, this is something I am working through with my therapist. So yeah, that was relax, calm down. Bye. Mwah. Exciting. Sorry, I'm so like childish and giggly today because I'm about to see Harry. And I cannot contain my... See, I'm singing again. This should not be allowed to be on the internet because no one wants to hear this singing voice. As my parents told me from a very young age, never audition for The X Factor, Kirsty. And you might think that sounds a little bit harsh. And you wouldn't exactly be wrong, but I am grateful because I do not want to be the viral moment of a terrible singer. Before we hop into the episode, I would like to apologize in advance. There is a little bit of background noise. It was a pretty hot day here today, and I had to have the windows open while I was recording with Raja. And for whatever reason, one driver decided to pretend he was in New York and honk his horn like there's no tomorrow. So there is a little bit of that. And then near the end of the episode, I don't know what someone was doing, like mowing their lawn or something, like a really loud motorbike or something like that. So there's kind of like a really annoying background noise. It does go away, I promise, and it doesn't happen until like near the end, but I do apologize in advance for that. I don't have like the technology to take that out. I'm just keeping it raw and real with you, so sorry in advance. But yeah, let's hop into the chat with Raja. But before we do that, remember to follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Fancy Blether. Check out the website fancyblether.com, exciting things on there soon, and follow/subscribe the podcast so you never miss one of our episodes. Okay, so this week's charity of the week is probably similar to a charity I've shouted out before. I might have even shouted out in previous seasons, but I love it so much I want to do it again. And it is the Scottish Refugee Council. I've always been someone who's been quite passionate about making sure that refugees have protection, have education, have human rights, and are given safety and asylum in whatever country they seek. And Scottish Refugee Council is literally all about that. So they are an independent charity dedicated to supporting people in need of refugee protection. The people they work with have fled horrific situations around the world and come from countries where conflict is rife and human rights abuses are common. When people arrive in Scotland, a new journey begins. The UK's asylum system is tough and takes its toll on individuals and families. Settling into a foreign country and a whole new system can be disorientating and challenging. And the Scottish Refugee Council are there for people at a difficult time in their lives. They do this through direct services, which provide practical support, advice, and a listening ear to help people rebuild their lives in a sustainable and meaningful way. They work with communities and community groups. They speak out against an unjust and silent system and campaign for policy changes that make a positive difference to people's life. And their work is all about rebuilding people's lives so that they're able to have moments of solidarity with other people who've also had to escape and seek refuge in Scotland. To get involved with the Scottish Refugee Council, you can just head to their website, scottishrefugeecouncil.org.uk. There you can find out all about their support services, donate, find out about the work for change, get involved, listen to some of their stories, and spread the word. So like I said, scottishrefugeecouncil.org.uk. Hello, Raja, and welcome to Fancy Blether podcast. How are you doing today?
I am doing well. Thanks for inviting me. I'm really loving the place I've set up here, so I'm looking forward to it, yeah.
No, you're welcome. I know, we got really lucky with the weather, actually.
Yeah.
I feel like summer has finally arrived.
deprivedness about dancing.
Yeah, we went out on Tuesday for our like after work drinks, and we said like, okay, summer is here. Like we tapped on it. I was like, yes.
Nice. But the mornings have been kind of throwing me off because it was like raining yesterday morning, and I was like, what's that all about? But then by like 1 o'clock, it was nice again, and I was like, oh, I'm glad I wore a summer outfit. Because the day before I didn't, and I was so warm. Because I'd convinced myself, oh, it was going to be a cold day. I was like, it was definitely going to be cold.
Yeah.
And then I discovered that it was roasting, and I was like, oh.
But
no.
That's Scotland, like in a nutshell, right? You get all four seasons
I know,
in one day.
Especially at summertime, because when it gets hot, you're like, oh shit, I should have like really thought about it.
Yes.
Because I don't mind when it's cold, because I always have layers. But then I'm like, oh, I can't take any more layers off. Like, I'm just going to be too warm now. So we always start off the podcast every week by asking our guest, what is your small wonder of the week? What is yours?
Wonder of the week. What can you...
So like what you're grateful for, like what's something that you've like enjoyed recently?
I've been going on a lot of walks through the cities. Just listening to podcasts. Just going around, just kind of like people watching to an extent, just after work, just to have that shut down from work, go to work, go for a walk. Then I got like cricket on some afternoons, and especially now it's sunny, like there's no reason for me not to go out. So yeah, just that the time I have to go out and actually enjoy myself.
Nice.
A cheeky hot chocolate here and there. Like, in a hot day.
Hot chocolate.
Hot chocolate on a hot day. Like, I kind of like it. Like,
I'm the opposite. I'm like an iced coffee on a cold day. Like, I can always have an iced coffee.
Exactly.
No matter the weather, it's always iced coffee weather in my brain.
For me, hot chocolate.
That's so
all
funny.
Day long, yeah.
Have you tried the one at the Meadows?
Yeah, Apple and Rose. Yeah, that's like my go-to. But yeah, taken like people come and visit Edinburgh, so I'm like I'm like the tour guide for them. I'm like, okay, I'm going to take you guys to the Meadows, we're going to have a hot chocolate, and that's like the main like
nice. I want to try it, but I don't, I'm like white hot chocolate,
white hot chocolate.
I don't think they have white hot chocolate.
They had it during Christmas time.
Did they?
I think
because I'm starting this TikTok series on it, Fancy Bella, actually.
Yeah,
I'm like trying white hot chocolate everywhere and like rating it, because I feel like that's like my specialty in life.
Gotcha.
Like,
yeah,
I know what the good ones are, because I've never liked chocolate, I've never liked white chocolate, so I've always known, like I've always been trying to find the perfect white hot chocolate.
Gotcha.
And I'm like, there's so many places in Edinburgh that have them.
What's the best in Edinburgh so far? What's
so
at the
far
top?
The one at really Rogue, but the one at Waterston's underrated, like, you know, the cafe above the bookshop, but it's like part of the bookshop. And it actually, the Waterston's cafe, like, obviously it is not a local cafe, which I don't really love, but it's part of a bookshop, which also is not a local bookstore, but whatever. But it has this view of the castle. It's like the best view I've ever seen. But I really like the Chocolate Tree. It's probably my favorite one at the moment. I'm sure there's this like white hot chocolate and rolls or something like that. It's something like they mix with something else, and it's like the perfect combination.
Yeah.
That's in Brunsfield, and it's been around for a while. Used to, like, they rebranded. It used to be called the May Tree. Well, actually, maybe it's called the May Tree now, and it used to be the Chocolate Tree.
Gotcha.
And I think they got new owners, but I was really worried they were going to change everything, but the menu seems to be the same, and they do ice cream.
If it works.
It's near the Meadows, actually. It's like
at
the top of the... It's like past the Meadows up to like the top of the Brunsfield Links. Just like literally 2 minutes from Brunsfield Links.
Gotcha.
And it's so good. So they do like milk ones as well. So
okay, I'll add it to our list.
They've got like different flavors.
Gotcha.
Probably worth a shout. I feel like we should probably explain to listeners like who you are.
Yeah.
So tell us like a little bit about yourself. Like, who are you? What do you do? What kind of brought you to Edinburgh? Kind of a little elevator pitch of yourself.
Elevator pitch. Okay, so my name's Raja. I was born in India, south part of India, called Chennai. Moved to Aberdeen when I was 11. Did my high school all the way to Essex in Aberdeen. Then I moved to Denmark for 3 years to do engineering and innovation business. Just the fact that everyone wanted to move out of Aberdeen.
Yeah.
I was like, guys, you're thinking small. Like,
yeah.
I'm moving out of Denmark. But it was like, when I moved there when I was 17, I was the youngest
nice.
In the class. It was such a kind of like eye-opening thing,
mm-hmm.
like moving away from my parents
mm-hmm.
and to a new country.
That's young, dude.
Yeah, it was like the second oldest was like 23 in my
oh.
class. So I was like, they did not think I was in the right place. But I was like, 3 years went by so quickly. Everything like I learned over there was more practical by doing stuff.
Uh-huh.
And I learned, I like learning from there. Like, we build uh-huh. products every semester.
Oh, nice.
But the culture itself was
uh-huh.
really good. Like, I was walking past and people just started smiling at me to start off. I thought that was weird to start off, but then like,
it doesn't happen.
Same like when I go to India as well, like it doesn't happen. So it's like, it's just like a casual smile, but then like I got used to it. It's like, it's just normal. Like, people
yeah.
are nice. Like, when they say it's the happiest country, like
nice
for a fact it
yeah.
is.
So you grew up in India until you were 11. Do
yeah.
you have like a lot, obviously I feel like childhood memories are kind of like a weird thing of like, how much do you actually remember and how much are like stories you've been told or like things you've seen in pictures.
Yeah.
Do you have any kind of like standout memories though from like the 11 years that you did have living in India? Is there anything that kind of stands out to you?
Not really,
uh-huh.
to be completely honest with you. There's like times I've spent with my cousins and my
uh-huh.
family. Like, whenever we like when I go to India, when we
yeah.
reconnect, it's like, oh, do you remember doing this? Do you remember doing that?
Yeah,
like,
okay.
it happens then. Like, I don't like, if you
uh-huh.
ask me to, like, is there a standout? Like, I can't tell you, like, this is a standout, because I feel like that would be,
mm-hmm.
There's so much things that I've done with
mm-hmm.
my cousins and my family and my friends
yeah.
over there. But it's always good to kind of like rethink when I go back.
Yeah,
but
like feel a bit.
Yeah.
Bit
but I remember I've lived in UK
yeah.
Way more now.
Yeah.
I'm 24 now. So I've lived here way longer than I've done.
Yeah, in India.
In India, so yeah.
Do you remember anything about the move? Like, do you remember anything about moving from India to come to Aberdeen? Like, do you remember
yeah.
kind of being the new kid? What was that like? Kind of trying to fit into... I can imagine culturally
yeah.
it's pretty different, even just, like, weather-wise. Aberdeen's obviously
yeah.
not the most colourful city.
Yeah, it's grand city. It's
in the country,
region.
And India's quite a colourful, bright country, where
warmer.
That's kind of a big part of your culture is like mm-hmm. the colourful
mm-hmm.
side of things. I'm not, it does exist in Scotland, but it's more of like the greens.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't tend to have a lot of colours.
Yeah.
We just have different shades of green.
Yeah.
But yeah, in Aberdeen, there's a lot of shades of grey.
Yes.
So what was that like as a child? Kind of, because 11's when you start to, I think, really start to like figure yourself out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I think 11 is kind of like when you're about to start, or were you starting high school?
So I came here when I was S2.
Okay,
like, started
yeah,
S2,
so you're like
started,
in,
yeah.
so you're in high school and
yeah.
you're like finally gaining like a little bit more of like your own personality.
Yeah.
And figuring out where you slot into the world. So
yeah.
what was that experience like?
It was a bit way different compared
oh,
to
yeah.
India. So I left India in India we used to have like exams like quarterly, half yearly,
mm-hmm.
three quarters, and then you get a final exam. So I left the day before the half early exam started,
mm-hmm.
where like everyone, that's like the only memory like I have from like leaving, like everyone was studying hard for the exams,
okay.
whereas I was just there, guys, I'm leaving, I'm out, like enjoy your stuff. But moving here, like obviously it's a big kind of culture shock
mm-hmm.
to an extent. There's so many things I can go into, like for instance in school, like in India, teachers used to come to our class, so we used to have like,
okay.
Let's say, secondary one.
Yeah.
Like, secondary one will be like S1A, S1, like we have like standards, so 8
yeah.
standard, 8A, 8B, 8C, 8D.
Yeah.
And teachers used to come and teach us.
Yeah,
like, in our class,
okay, so you would stay in the same location.
Exactly, for the whole day.
Mm-hmm.
Unless we had like a PE class or like
something that you
class.
Needed to be
exactly
like a lab or something.
But whereas in UK it was more like we had a registration class I had to go to in the morning. Then after the registration, I had to go to my first period.
Yeah,
I was
like
English.
Around.
There's an English department. There's like a room number that I need to learn. Like I got a timetable and a paper.
Like
yeah, like a not even a map. It was just like you have English with this teacher within this room.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And I was like me completely not knowing where everything was. Like it took me like a month and a half to like. Really,
and I'd imagine
okay.
that's quite hard because you're not coming in as new at the same time as everyone else in your year.
Exactly.
Because obviously I had that experience of moving from primary to secondary where it was massive because you've had the same teacher all the time and you're in the same room.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you've got different teachers every hour and you're in loads of different rooms.
Yeah.
But because you're in first year, everyone is going through that together.
Yeah.
So even if you are late to a class, you all kind of have that bonding thing of like, 100%. Oh, well, let's all walk here together.
Mm-mm.
Or, oh, do you have that? I have that. Oh,
yeah, it's the same period.
Going?
Like, look at the timetable.
Like,
yeah.
And you could try and, like, make friends and, like, ask an older kid.
Mm-hmm.
And like, because it was the start of the year, it was normal. Whereas, like, coming in as a new kid, everyone else has already kind of figured out that whole system.
Yeah, yeah.
So it must have been quite, like, isolating.
Yes and no.
Uh-huh.
So there was, like, few other kids, like, who were, like, slightly newer as well.
That's nice.
Obviously I missed out like that first year like S1
mm-hmm.
of like essentially creating groups in a sense like you
mm-hmm.
know like when you go to your high school like there's groups
cliquey.
So I like it took me a while like which group I should be part of and this
mm-hmm.
and that. It's like but like I was trying to fit in, like, oh, I should be doing this, I should be doing something like this. Like, now I'm thinking, like, that was just a very idiotic move. I should have been who I was, like.
Yeah.
But it took me a while, but, like, I'm a kind of person, like, wherever I go, like, I kind of, like, I learn to
mm-hmm.
fit in quite quickly. Because I moved a lot.
Like mold to the situation.
Yeah, mold to the situation, but at the same time, like, not losing who I am.
Yeah,
like,
okay.
I know for a fact, like, I know a lot of people who, like, change their characters, like, wherever.
Yeah.
The situation changes,
mm.
but, like, even though I mold, but that does not mean, like, Raja, as you and everyone knows it, it's still the same person. Like
yeah, it's just different sides of the same person.
Exactly.
I get you, I'm the same.
Yeah.
I'm the same way.
Yeah, so yeah, like I love sports. Like I
mm-hmm.
play a lot of sports, so that's like the one of the main like the driver to like okay,
uh-huh.
I went to Denmark, I played squash and cricket, so
nice.
That was like easy way to like know the culture, like
mm-hmm.
what's happening in the city.
Yeah, an easy way to socialize.
100%, like, it came back to Aberdeen. Like, Aberdeen, like, my dad, like, kind of, he was there.
We're not in New York.
This is still
Edinburgh. Still
Edinburgh, beeping sounds. My dad kind of, like, introduced me to, like, a lot of new sports. So, like,
oh,
squash
nice.
Was, like, the first thing.
Nice.
He's been in Aberdeen for way longer.
Yeah.
That's
cool.
So, I feel like sports was, like,
full on. I've never played. I've just
squash.
Really? Yeah, I've never played, but it looks pretty intense.
It
like,
was
very, very, very fast paced.
Yes.
It looks fun, but like I've never personally played. I've just seen it and been like, wow, maybe one day.
That is literally how I got into it. So I played like table tennis, like Sports Village in Aberdeen. People who were in Aberdeen. I used to play like table tennis.
Yeah.
Then when we walked up, they were playing squash.
Oh, nice.
So I didn't know about squash. I didn't know it was a sport.
Yeah, I didn't know until I was like a little older.
Yeah, I didn't know it was a sport. But my same year, like in registration class called Richard, he plays for Scotland.
Oh, wow.
So that's how I knew like, oh, there is something like squash. So I kind of like, I guess he kind of like told me there's something like this. Then I started playing squash and absolutely enjoyed it. I've never been like super good at it, but like I'll go competitions here and there.
It's still fun.
Yeah.
I think that's something that people don't realize about sport. Like, I think especially growing up in quite a competitive culture, like, I think it's fair to say that Britain as a whole, and including Scotland, we're very competitive by nature.
Yeah.
When it comes to a lot of things.
Yeah.
Which is, like, fun, and, like, friendly competition's always great, but it's kind of, like, the only thing that can be quite toxic about that to children, or even to, like, teenagers in your, like, formative years, is that thing of, like, oh, competition is, like, the best thing ever, and winning's amazing.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, like, there was plenty of talks on good sportsmanships, like, from my parents and from my teachers when I was younger, but there's a real culture around winning and around being the best at things and about being best at everything. And I think, for me, that was really hard as a kid, because I was never the best at anything.
Uh-huh.
But I did a lot of things.
Uh-huh.
And I would do, like, I don't know, I'd maybe do, like, she had a club, I think, every lunchtime in high school, most days after school.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't the best person there, any of them. But I had so many more skills than somebody that was the best at something.
Jack of all trades, master of none, but you're still...
Yeah, and I like that. That doesn't have to be a negative thing. Like, that can be a positive, but it was almost taken as quite a... Because it was almost like that thing of, like, oh, you have to find your talent. And I remember being like, I don't have talent. What does that mean?
Multi-talented, that's a...
Yeah, it's like, I think it's so underrated to just play sports for fun. And just to do... And also to do things you're not good at. Like, to do something and get better at it is way more rewarding than doing something and being automatically good at it. Fair enough if you're still working at it and you're improving.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're naturally good at something... And then you just don't really have to try. It doesn't have the same kind of, like, reward.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, what is the
something
fun
needs
that?
To drive you, right?
Yeah,
something
absolutely.
like for me, like, whatever I try, like, I've always been, like, really bad at it at the start. But, like,
yeah,
okay, I can do this. I can, like, that's what made me, like, do training on XYZ, like, in sports. I went to a lot of, like, trainings with, like, I essentially, like, pushed myself to, like, play with, like, older people, like, experience. That was something new to me as well, because in India it was like you're always stuck with that age group and just like, but over here it was like, okay, you go and play with adults if you're there. Scotland's, I felt like, is more about giving chances. If you capture it, that's really good for you, and how you use it is really good. So this is not just like sports, like in any kind of environment, like I'm like, okay, I can do this if I just put some time and effort.
Yeah.
So I've learned a lot of stuff by just like talking to a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, what do you think about this? What do you think? Like, because they are experts in that field. Like, I don't want to be the expert, like, I want to be knowledgeable to be good at it. Like you said, like, I consider myself, like, jack of all trades, master of none.
Yeah, and I think it's important to be uncomfortable in life.
Oh, yeah.
And I
100%.
Think a lot of people don't do things they're not good at because they're uncomfortable. And then they're avoiding uncomfortability, but without that, you will never grow, and you'll never...
100%.
You'll never, like... do anything with your life. There'll be no progress and
boring. It'll be boring though.
Yeah,
like, if you
just
feel
like joy in your life because you're staying in your comfortable bubble, which is great. But then it's like, yeah, you're not gonna have the terrible feelings, but you're also not gonna have the great feelings either. You're just gonna be stuck in the mundane feelings forever. And like, don't get me wrong, I love a mundane day every once in a while as well. But yeah, I think it is interesting. I think there is something to be said about the culture in Scotland in terms of like giving people chances, and it honestly probably partially comes from the fact that like we've never been great at sports, like, as a country. And I think that has really helped, like, with younger kids and stuff getting into it, and it's kind of like we view it as more fun. Like, we don't take it too, we never take ourselves too seriously. We're not like singing like it's coming home, like
yeah.
What do you mean it's
not
home?
Yet? Okay, like in like few years time.
Even then we won't be. Instead, we're like singing like We Can Boogie, and our serious song that we've chosen.
Yeah.
Because that's just the reality. Like, it's better to have a good time than to be so serious about things all the time and just not enjoy like that. But no, so what was kind of the decision that led up to Denmark? So you were kind of like, I want to get out of Aberdeen, see another place, see a new place. Was why Denmark?
That wasn't like the main reason, like, to move out to Aberdeen. The main reason was I kind of wanted to do something in engineering and business together. In Scotland and essentially in UK, they didn't have a course
that
similar to that. Now it's like popping up more like cross-functional courses, but essentially I wanted something that I can mix
and match. Like a joint.
I didn't want to go like just one thing. Then I started, to be honest, it was completely my dad. Like I told him like, kind of want to do something like that. He's the kind of person like, he doesn't tell you do this, do that. He was more like, he will ask me what to do and he will do like a extensive research and be like, Raja, there's something like this X, Y, Z. It was up to me. So I'm super grateful for my dad to like, I guess doing the research, but like not kind of like, he would kind of guide me like pros and cons of each of them, but he would still let he would still let me choose. So I've always
that's
been
such
like
a dad thing. My dad does the same thing.
Yeah, it's like
that's such a like father. No, in the best way. Though.
Yeah, in the best way.
My
yeah.
dad is like that as well.
Yeah,
like, identical.
Yeah. So I was like, showed me a lot of universities, so I just applied, contacted them. I was like, this University of Southern Denmark accepted me. And 3 years later, I'm bachelor's in innovation and business. I'm kind of like grateful that my dad and my mom kind of like my mom didn't like me going to Denmark, just mom being moms, and Indian moms are like, you should be in Aberdeen, like, with us, like, she always, like, compares, look at their son, like, they're in Aberdeen, look at them, like, they're in Aberdeen, even though they got offers from some, it's like, I also, like, because I did that, like, now I'm realizing when I think back, it's like, if I stayed in the same city as I grew up, I would have not experienced what I have. Like, my thought process would have been the same as I've been in the same kind of environment. So I've kind of been realizing the more, like, okay, I've moved away from my home city. I went to Denmark. Then I've, like, people think differently. It's up to you to process, like, do you think that is who I am? Like, maybe yes, maybe no. So I learned a lot. Then when I moved back to Aberdeen, I was staying with my family. I was 19 when I finished.
Yeah.
It was a 3-year course, 17, 18, 19. Then I had like a really like 0-hour contract job in oil and gas. Super grateful. I was supposed to be there for like 2 weeks. But that 2 weeks turned into like multiple months, and they offered me the job, but I was like, okay, I'm taking a holiday, so let me go to India, so just like a break. When I went there, COVID happened.
Oh God.
So I was stuck there for 4 months.
Yeah.
Then I was kind of like in a different environment, like in a very traditional. So anything that I did, like when I lived in Denmark, I can't apply it in my household.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to like my mom always says, like, oh, I when I call her, like, she's like, oh, I cooked this, I cooked that, and when I come back home, it's like, Aja, why are you not cooking this? Why are you not cooking that? Because that is a bachelor's cooking, and there's a family cooking. So like there's a student cooking, which not a lot of people talk about, which is pastors and pastors. But absolutely loved it, like the simple things. I love the simple things. It's about like you said, getting out of the comfort zone. Like if you stay in the same environment for a very long time, you won't get to know the other perspectives. Like I went to London for my first job, that was a complete like everything was fast paced. I love the city, which is I'm kind of glad that I did go to London.
Mm-hmm.
I loved the job. Like, job was the only thing that was really keeping me. And, like,
okay.
the people I worked with were amazing. Like, the environment was, like, that's what I wanted. Like, that was my,
yeah.
like, goal. And job-wise, I hit the jackpot, like, working for that company.
Mm-hmm.
But location-wise, I just didn't feel... that was me. I was thinking, okay, do I see myself like staying
mm-hmm.
in this place for a very long time? Because I've like traveled around a lot, like I've never been with my family. I don't want to go back to Aberdeen because I'm going back home
mm-hmm.
and I'll be back to the same environment, getting back into the comfort zone. I want to go like move back to Edinburgh because
mm-hmm.
I was in Edinburgh for the first time in 2021, summer 2021, to do my internship. First few days, absolutely fell in love with the city. I had like fucking amazing roommates. We did a lot of stuff in like
mm-hmm.
the 4 months. A lot of shenanigans, a lot of like building, a lot of, so that kind of like created a picture. Okay, I do wanna when I that
yeah.
I only realized when I moved to London. Like I wanted to move
yeah.
to London. And I was like very scared to move to London because new place, new environment. I've done it before, but still like.
Yeah, it doesn't get easier though.
Nah.
It doesn't matter how many times you do it.
Nah. I did like the fact of packing everything and like moving. I don't know, it's weird, but.
You
it's
like
just,
doing that.
I like doing
oh,
it's
God,
like.
I hate that. It's the worst part. Like unpacking.
I like packing just because. When it's all empty,
yeah.
then you pack everything, when you chuck everything into the car, then it's like
mm.
back to how you started. Like,
okay, like metaphorical.
Yeah, but no, then plus I didn't want to be with my family at that time. I feel like I still needed
mm-hmm.
a lot of like growing to do. Like,
yeah, yeah.
So I like Edinburgh seemed like the
yeah.
Part.
Was that kind of hard to recognize that like location was important to you? Because I feel like that's something not really spoken about a lot is when people talk about like the dream life, they talk about, you hear a lot about like the dream job
mm-hmm.
and like having the best friends and having
uh-huh.
the white picket fence and having the children or not having the children,
mm-hmm.
having the partner, not having the partner.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody really. There's not the same discourse around like the importance of place
yeah.
and the importance of like feeling at home in the place you're in
mm-hmm.
and it's not even necessarily that the place you're in is not a good place
mm-hmm.
it's just that for you personally it doesn't fit what you need in that moment in your life and I feel that's something that's not really discussed in
yeah.
the world because I last year lived in kind of like the middle of nowhere
mm-hmm.
and I find that really hard because I was craving a busier community, a more
mm-hmm.
vibrant social
active,
life,
yeah.
and having that because I'm in that phase of my life where that's something that I need
mm-hmm.
and that's kind of part of my personality.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's something that no one really talks about. Obviously, the people talk about like New York is my place and blah
yeah.
blah blah, but like nobody actually really talks about like the depth of that and like the importance of that and the impact that can have on
mm-hmm.
you as a person
mm-hmm.
and on like. Your experience on your mental health and on like the way that you function daily because
mm-hmm.
if the place you're living in
mm-hmm.
you don't feel like you make sense in it even if everything else in your life is perfect
yeah
you're not gonna feel great because you don't feel like you belong where you are do you know what I mean
yeah I completely understand like but I only got that from moving to London like
okay.
I felt Edinburgh was, I was looking for jobs in Edinburgh
yeah,
when
yeah.
I finished my uni. But because I had this opportunity to go down south for this company,
mm-hmm.
I moved for the company, not for the location.
Yeah, so that location was kind of like a side.
Like a side. And only when I moved there, like for the first few months, it was really good. Like I was...
Mm-hmm.
I learned a lot from like
kind of
from
like
a work like career wise.
Yeah,
I learned
that
a lot.
That honeymoon phase.
Yeah. And like the more I realized, it was like I'm going to work, coming back home, and I'm not doing what I used to like doing.
Yeah.
Which is like, I used to go on a lot of hikes. I used
mm-hmm.
to just walk quite a lot.
Yeah.
Sports was a big thing that I wasn't
mm-hmm.
doing. That was just, then after, like, I was there for 9 months.
Mm-hmm.
In the seventh month, then I realized, okay, why am I not doing this?
Yeah.
Is it because of location? Plus, there was like other factors that kind of wanted me to move back to Edinburgh. Not
mm-hmm.
to Edinburgh, just to Scotland.
Yeah.
Just didn't want to move back to Aberdeen, but like Scotland was like closer because I kind of realized, okay, my parents are getting old. I still
yeah.
want to be like, my mom had like a few issues here and there, like health-wise,
mm-hmm.
so I was like, I don't want to drive 9 hours. As
mm-hmm.
much as I like driving from London to Edinburgh, Edinburgh to Aberdeen, like 11-hour drive.
Mm-hmm.
but like the fact that I can like go and see my parents
yeah.
any weekend that I want, because I do like going up to Aberdeen, spending time with them, which I was like missing.
Yeah.
Not missing per se, but it's like I would have liked to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And there was other stuff that was like, okay, I don't know if it was just me that was just like
mm-hmm.
that location was draining something from me. But when I moved to Edinburgh, I did a lot of stuff. Like I made like really good friends here. I don't know if it's just because I was in that uni environment, like because I did
yeah,
my master's
maybe.
In Aberdeen.
I do think Edinburgh is quite a social city.
Oh yeah.
Though.
Yeah.
I think
it's not a big city, but it's not like a town village as well.
Yeah,
because
London's
something
a little bit too big in the way
mm-hmm.
a little bit in the way that it's not very social because there's too many people
Aye.
For it to be effectively social.
Uh-uh.
Whereas Edinburgh has kind of like the right balance of like not too many people but not too little people that there's no one
mm-hmm.
to socialise
yeah.
with, which was
yeah.
what I was facing.
Yeah.
Or very few people to socialise with. You kind of have that perfect combination. The only thing that's hard is getting yourself in the right rooms or in the right places, which of course being at uni would be
mm-hmm.
a great opportunity to
mm-hmm.
do that.
Yeah.
Because what's hard about when you're not at uni is like
yeah.
then where do they come from?
Exactly.
Where do those friendships
yeah.
come from?
Yeah.
But yeah, I think there is a lot to be said about like the importance of place in your life and also like
mm-hmm.
the importance of recognizing that that changes.
Mm-hmm.
So like for you at one point, Denmark was the place that made sense.
Yeah.
And then Edinburgh became the place and like different places will
yeah.
be the place throughout your life and like recognizing and allowing yourself to have that
yeah.
ability to move. And you spoke a little bit about kind of rewinding in Denmark, like the different thought processes
mm-hmm.
and things like that and the different ways of thinking and like you could choose to take that on or not take that on. What kind of stood out to you in Denmark as kind of the key differences in the way of thinking, and was that something you really resonated with and have
yeah.
brought into your own life more?
Yeah. Like I was 17, 18, 19, I was still like
yeah, yeah.
quite young. And I, over there everyone was slightly more direct.
Uh-huh.
And I learned that like I like that, like
mm-hmm.
what's the point like beating around the bushes and like
mm-hmm.
oh you can do this, you can do that. It's like Raja, this was shit, or you can do better, like very direct, like
mm-hmm.
Because I've always like been in an environment slightly older
yeah
people older than me, like in sports I've always like, even though I played with my own like age group, I've always like played slightly competitively with like more mature and older
yeah,
people.
Yeah.
And when I went to Denmark, it was like even the like 23, 24, like the oldest in my class was 35, 36.
Mm-hmm.
So I've always been in the environment where they've gone through life more than I have.
Yeah.
And they're just more direct into what they do and what they say.
Mm-hmm.
At least the people I know, like it's not what I'm saying, like Denmark is like
no
America.
I get you, but like your experience,
in my experience yeah and being in that international environment
mm-hmm.
like most of them were German, maybe the directness came from interacting with a lot of German people
yeah
But I like that fact. I like just being, okay, work is one thing. There's a work-life balance. You work, when they're done with work, they don't really talk a lot about work.
Nice.
Which I'm still like, self-assessing.
Yeah,
it's
very ingrained in our culture, so it's very hard to break out.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's very, very ingrained in British culture.
British culture, and like similar to like Indian culture as well. Like,
yeah.
I do like talking about work. Like, I'm not like, I do like talking about work, but there are so many other things that we can
discuss.
Yeah, I'm not like very much into politicals or anything, but like,
mm-hmm.
I'm a very curious person, so I like to learn. I like, how did you do this? How did you do that? Why did you do this? Could you have done this to make it better? So those are like the questions that I learned to ask when I was studying Denmark.
Okay.
Because the whole course was innovation, being creative, being engineering, being business side. And it was essentially like a startup, like every semester.
Yeah.
So I guess my course did kind of show me who I am.
Yeah.
But also, like, when we are done with the course, like all the classworks and all the other stuff, we hung out a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we went to the beaches, we talked, like, being in that international environment just kind of made me think that there's more to stuff than just study.
Mm-hmm.
There's more to stuff. Because I feel like you can, like, it's everything's connected. You'll have, like, random chats on the beach that we just, like, after study, oh, let's go to the beach on a sunny day. We were talking random, so it was like, the next day I'll be like, oh, like, he did that while he was traveling. Why can we not do something similar to what you did?
Yeah.
To like, so it's all interconnected. So
nice. Yeah, I think that's directness is definitely something that this country is severely lacking in.
Yeah.
So I would say we're better than other parts of Britain, but still nowhere near where we should be as a country.
Yeah.
There's a lot of brushing under the carpet. There's a lot of beating around the bush.
Yeah.
There's a lot of like avoiding conflict, which just creates more
conflict. I think
conflicts.
It's getting better though. I feel like.
Oh yeah, definitely. I think as the generations have aged.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of like avoiding conflict, which in result just creates bigger conflict.
100%. Like, it's also being open. Like, in Denmark, like, everyone was like super open to like.
Mm-hmm.
At least the people who have been in that environment, but like, we're super open and direct to like, okay, I'm feeling like this, so I think we should do this XYZ.
Yeah.
And people always have an opinion, and I really liked it.
Yeah.
And like, even though I want to be like, I am like that, like, I'm super like open, but also like, I know certain things I don't want to say, like, because if I say everything, what's the point of like me working on myself?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I say something, like, I want to do X, Y, and Z, that's my goal.
Mm-hmm.
I'll only say it to like certain people, just because I'm very close to them.
Yeah.
But that, like, but other stuff, like very general stuff, like my opinions on certain music, certain like food, like TV show, movies, I'll be like, yeah, nah, that's not for me. Yeah, that is for me. Like, I like that. I'll just say, if I don't like something, I would say, there isn't a lot of things I don't like, but it's like, when I don't like
it,
I'll
just
say,
no, I get you. It's about, like, being allowed to have an opinion, isn't it?
Exactly, exactly. And being
like,
open to, like, voice the opinions.
Yeah, and
like,
being open to hear the other opinions.
100%,
and respect the opinions of others.
Yeah, that's, like, the major thing as well. Like, you have an argument, like, but that doesn't mean you're always right, because you should be open to like getting to like me asking you like, why do you think like that, because I want to know why you think like that, so I can give an not an argument, but like for me
but
to
like
understand
an
and for you to
discussion,
like, exactly, rather than just being like
to learn through the conversation,
yes,
rather than it just being like a big blow eye.
Yes, like one-sided, like a conversation is always good when it's both sides.
Yes.
I'm still working on it. Like, certain times I'm like, I talk too much. Then certain times I'm just like super silent because I just want to hear your opinion. So there's always room to learn. There's always room to grow. Yeah.
Definitely. We are getting near to the end of the episode, so I was wondering if you could let our listeners know what is one of your Korean essentials. So for people at home, that's like something that makes you feel like cozy and warm, and something that you like just enjoy having around, whether it's like a, can be like a person, an object, a food, a drink, like anything at all.
To start the conversation, hot chocolate.
Yeah.
That's just like hot chocolate on a cold day. Like Scotland has a lot of cold days.
Yeah.
Like,
nice.
And food is like a big thing. Like, I always like, I connect to a lot of people through food.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I've organized like food, like at work, I like created like a group where like we go and test out like different cultures food.
Nice.
Everyone, I do it with my friends. Oh, motorbikes out. So yeah, food kind of is a big thing.
Nice.
Hot chocolate is a big thing, and just being around like open grass and open ground, just going for a walk, just listening to random podcasts, music.
What's like your favorite place to go for a walk in Edinburgh?
I've kind of like gone through like the same route like most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's always because I live close to Stockbridge, Newtown.
Mm-hmm.
I walk up to Newtown, either go through like Edinburgh Castle, through Grass Market, then through to the Meadows.
Mm-hmm.
Then go around the Lothian.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. But certain times I'll be like, okay, I can go further. Like one day I just kept walking for 4 hours. I don't know where I went. I just, I was like, oh, okay, I don't have anything to do. Let's just go for a walk.
Nice.
Just walked for 4 hours and I felt the pain the next few days.
I bet.
Yeah. But I enjoyed it. Like, I enjoyed it at that time. I was okay with the pain because I enjoyed it that, so.
Nice.
But there's always like a few like coffee places.
Yeah.
Here and there. There's this one, and I can't remember the road's name. The one like close to the Meadows where
uh-huh.
they have like Karachi chai. It's like pink.
Ooh,
pink,
sounds nice.
With like almond on the top. It's I think that the coffee shop or like place is called like Dragon.
Okay.
Bubble tea.
Yeah, it sounds familiar.
Yeah, and like, I'm like, okay, this is good. Like, I go there quite often. So yeah, that is like me.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for coming on today. Just to finish off, can you let our listeners know where they can find you? Where can they like follow you, check you out, things like that?
Yeah. So I have Instagram, like the main thing. Handles just Raja_Monopoly. I have like other two or three accounts that's like specified for all my travels and like for food. I like photography, so like take a lot of random food pictures, a lot of travel pictures, some drone footage here and there. So if you like those, if you like traveling, if you like food, like, yeah, hit me up. Like, I'm more than happy to share my experience. Or I have a list of food places to go
Amazing.
To.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And I'll have that linked in the show notes as well, so anyone that's not sure of spelling or anything can just click link in the show notes. Yeah, thank you so much for coming on. It's been great chatting. And to everyone at home, thank you so much for listening. And you'll hear from me again next week. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. Thank you again to Raja for coming on. So lovely to have this chat. And please do remember to leave us a review if you're feeling nice. And follow/subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. New episodes every Sunday. And please share the podcast. Let everyone know you're listening. Let us know when you're listening, what you're doing when you're listening. I feel like we're a great podcast for your summer walks. So take pictures of where you're all walking. And yeah, thank you for listening. Have a great week, and I have a fun Stories of Scotland solo episode coming next week, so stay tuned for that. Bye.